I'm so excited that we have Innovate Digital Solutions as a sponsor of HeCast this season. Innovate Digital Solutions provides anything that an office might need, hardware, software, IT, copy machines, things like that. They make an office run more smooth, and they're really good at it. But one of the things that I love about Innovate, their founders, Andre and Katia Brasso, they're people that don't just believe it's important to build a strong business, but also to take that success and build the strong community around them. They really have a heart for what HeChanged is doing. People they love have gone through some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. Andre and Katia both believe that you can build a life worth living, and there are these evidence-based solutions that can help build that life. We're so excited to be in partnership with Innovate Digital Solutions, and HeChanged It is better for it, and we hope you will be too. Go to innovate.ca and check them out. Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am happy to be here and talk about the world of men's mental wellness in the quest of watching HeChanged It grow and become this worldwide phenomenon that changes this world in a good way, starting with men. More to come on that. If you haven't downloaded the HeChanged It app yet, jump onto HeChangedIt.com. The links for whichever device that you have the app sitting there. They're free. You can also check out the mission as to what HeChanged It is trying to do. Now, HeCast, we have interesting conversations with men or people around men or folks who have a story to tell. It's not always just men that we have. We have women on the show too. But we talk about the world of mental wellness, mental fitness, whatever you want to call it, pertaining to men with that sort of a slant. I love when we have folks on the show who do something very similar. So today's guest is also a podcast host, also has a men's mental wellness platform. Is it the same as HeChanged It? No, but boy, is it ever a good potential to collaborate. Even in the show, we talk about how there should be 20, 30, 40 of these types of companies or ventures out there because the need is so vast. And when we find somebody that we can talk to where they understand the need the way that we understand the need, boy, is that ever a cool synergy. Zach Hussein, he is the host of the Canadian podcast and also the author and founder of Mentel.ca, M-E-N-T-E-L-L.ca, Mentel. See what he did there? Pretty clever. Very much so. Zach is an awesome guy. And as you can imagine, he and I are able to, we talk about how iron sharpens iron. We're able to sharpen each other very much through this episode. We are really excited to have this. Whenever two podcast hosts get together, it's not like the UFC, two will enter, one will leave. No, it's two will enter and both will leave in better shape than they were. That's what happened this episode. Please enjoy HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It, with our very special guest, Zach Hussein. Zach, I am so excited that you are on here with us today on HeCast for a couple of reasons. Number one, the overarching thing is you're a foxhole buddy. Okay, so you're a podcast host, but not just a podcast host. You're also somebody who is in the men's mental wellness space, and that is like, I know when we started this endeavor, like when Candy and her team started building HeChanged It, you know, from concept, it's about 5 years ago, and it's been a lonely journey for her. And every time you find a foxhole buddy, somebody who already sees what we're seeing and the need, the dramatic need to help in this space and whatnot, it's always fun. You're kind of both. You're the podcast guy and you're in the men's mental wellness space. I'm so excited to have you on here to instead of get you, you know, asking other people questions, it's great to have you on the guest seat. And we can find out a little bit more about you. How long have you been hosting a podcast and what have you learned from doing it so far?
Wow. Well, thank you, Mike, for having me. It's a privilege. You know, it's great to be here. And to answer your question, it started January 2021. Previous to that, I had dabbled here and there, trying to learn, as you know, down the foxhole, trial and error. This works, this won't work.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm doing. And what I've learned is through interviewing folks from all realms of life, male, female, artists, entrepreneurs, we're all the same at the end. You know, when you peel back the mask, the layers, we can put someone on a pedestal, but we realize we also have those same struggles as them and vice versa. And we're no different. You know, some people are just better at covering it up. But when you're on this podcast and you unveil who you truly are, I think there's a beauty in that. And it helps not only others, but myself through the healing journey. I got sober in November 2020.
Yeah.
So yeah, November 2020, I got sober. November 25th, 2020, I got sober. And I said, wow, my social life is gone. Everything's out the drain. Now what am I going to do? We're in a pandemic. I'm home. And yeah, you know, I had lost my mom in 2019. She had just turned 55, brain cancer.
So young.
Yeah. Oh so gosh. It kind of takes you on a spiral, you know, and the consumption of alcohol started rising. I thought I was never going to be that guy, but I started showing up at the pub every day or a brewery every day. And it started becoming, instead of 8 p.m., it started becoming 7, 6, 5. And for me, you know, I couldn't drink like others, I realized. Blackout or more or less, you'd say or do things you didn't want or mean. And you always had to apologize. So I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Hmm. And I had to call myself out on my own BS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't recommend a lot of it to people, but I was really hard on myself. And I said, okay, I need to change. I need to better myself. And then through talking to other people, going back to the podcast, I realized I was not the only one that ever struggled. Others did as well, in different realms. And struggle is not something that I want to put up there as something that we should all like enjoy and stuff. It's the reality of our lives.
Yeah, we don't aspire to struggle, but it is an actual reality. We are going to struggle at some point, whatever level it's at. So we don't aspire for it, but we need to learn how to deal with it when it does happen.
Yeah, and I didn't have the tools. You know, I didn't have them. But what I realized through the process was during the pandemic when I started going online, because there was nobody meeting in person. I don't know anybody in programs like AA and all of that. And I Googled it for the first time. I'd seen AA in a movie once. So I was like, wow, I'm here. And I, you know, 10 p.m. every night would go to this thing and started finding some great people around. And then you realize that you weren't alone. And you also realize at that same time that how grateful you are because of these folks to have a sounding board, to listen, to hear, because we're always, I always say this as like, you know, there's pros and cons to the pandemic. And when you look back pre-pandemic for myself, I was in a rat race of life. Like just go, 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 go of what? Till when are we going to stop? You know, you go work, then you go out for a drink or you go work, go for dinners and drinks. Like what the heck? There's got to be more to life. Friends of mine can drink, which I love, and they do it in a healthy manner. I just took it to the next level. So I realized I needed to change. And the podcast has been healing. And then obviously starting Mentel was healing. And various other projects that I like to work on. Because I think I'm a creative person. You know, like I've always loved art. I've always liked building things from nothing. So I'll try things. I'll fail at them. But that is the beauty in life is you got to keep trying. Get back up on the horse and go again. You know, the painting behind me is one of them I do. And it's just abstract doodling. But for me, it's healing, especially in our bleak winters of Alberta here. Sometimes, you know, there's no color. So how do I keep this sane?
Yep.
And obviously my dog.
You know, listening to the Canadian podcast, I think in this exchange here, I've heard you talk more than I've heard you do an entire run because you're such a good listener and you're so good at listening to your guests. And don't get me wrong, you talk about creativity. And the reason I started with what did you learn? I'm so excited to go back and forth with you and to talk about podcasting. Like, again, it's that old saying, a fisherman can always recognize another fisherman. And even if they're just meeting each other for the first time, the moment they talk about that commonality of fishing, time can go by like that. I know personally with I host two podcasts, and both of them that I've host, I have learned, again, it's the greatest thing in the world to be in the front seat and to learn all of these things from all of these amazing people. And I love the fact that the thing that you came out with before we got into any of the specifics of things or whatever, cold out of the gate, the fact that you're not alone. And boy, what a silver bullet that is. I can't emphasize that enough with what He Changed It is doing and all of the pain points and research that the team has done as they're building this app and this culture within the app and HeCast and all of that. The idea of the reality that so many men out there think that they're the only ones who are struggling, and there's embarrassment or shame even, and these feelings of let's dig it down, bury it down, don't talk about it. But the moment you start talking about it, the exact opposite of what the fear of not talking about it has occurs, and suddenly you realize, oh, there's freedom here, and there's optimism, and there's hope, and there's all of these amazing things. I love that that is the thing that you have learned from a personal perspective, obviously, with your journey. That is super, super cool. And I was going to ask, I was actually one of my next questions is, I want to talk about Mentel, and I want to talk about the Canadian podcast. The question was, which came first, and how did they feed into each other, and what are they? So let's talk about whichever order you want, Mentel.ca or the Canadian podcast. Up to you.
Sure. So the Canadian podcast came first. Like I said, January 2021, launched it. And just started talking to Canadians from coast to coast and learning about their story, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and what makes it enjoyable to be here in Canada, to be a human, to prosper in whatever realm that is.
Yep.
Health, wealth, you name it. Because at the end of the day, it's all of that combined. Yeah. In terms of Mentel, you know, I had an idea in 2021 around May, but I didn't do anything with it till last June. So yeah. June 23 was Men's Mental Health Month.
Yep.
And you know, during that time, I talked to a couple friends of mine and I said, well, I have this name and you know, I've been wanting to do something, but I've been afraid. I'm afraid because I don't know if I'm healed enough. I don't know if I'm ready. But the power through friendship and through people online that you start building a trust with, they said, so what if you fall? And what are you going to fail about? You know, we're here.
Yeah.
So a buddy of mine, Sean Taylor, incredible human being, and he's done a lot for myself personally and many other men. You know, Seb Lavoie.
Oh, Seb's yeah. So great.
He's such an amazing human so being. He's so
great. Yeah. I love Seb. Yeah.
So, you know, you get these gents to come around and you realize, wow, like, hey, you guys are tough as nails. You guys do some crazy things that folks like myself have never even thought are possible.
Mm-hmm.
To know that you have hope in me or will do this with me, it gave me some sense of I'm going to be okay to take mm-hmm. the step. And you know how incredible it was to see men from all across the country, from all walks of life, come out and say a favorite book, a favorite quote, or an exercise or an activity they enjoy doing for their mental health.
Yep.
We can all talk about our crappy times, and you know there's a time and place for that,
sure,
or what if we kind of compartmentalized it in a way to say is let's focus on the good to inspire each other, because again we can go to the dark sides, we all have it, the demons, the dragons, whatever you want to call yep. it, but how can David fight Goliath? Well, it's through community, it's through people like you and I, it's through people like Seb, Sean, Satch, there's so many of them, the list yep. goes on.
Yeah, I love hearing that, and it's fantastic. I want to go into a little bit more about what Mentel is.
Sure. For now, Mentel is a place that just brings positivity to men. You know, it starts from quotes. It starts from what books you like to read, sharing things, a video of inspiration. But every June, we hope to kind of amplify it a bit and bring a message out further. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to three or four things. What are you doing for your mental health? Share it with somebody. You know, if you don't want to go on social media, that's fine. Talk to your brother, your neighbor, your friend.
Yep.
I don't care. But get out there. Talk. Start speaking, not just for yourself, but for others. Because those folks struggle in silence. I struggled in silence for so many years until I realized I wasn't alone. And it's that cliche. You keep hearing it. You know, you're not alone. You're not alone. And I was like, whatever, whatever, I am. People won't understand me. They don't get it. You know, I stopped drinking, Mike, and I started getting a sensation a couple of days actually into my sobriety. I've never gone back, thankfully, knock on wood. But I could start feeling in my hands, my face, and I realized the boy that got covered up with all the masks, all the layers, all the ego, the pride, the other people's thoughts, their opinions, their energy. Yep. And it sounds hokey-pokey, but you got to declutter that stuff. And I have this picture over there it was in 1995. My mom and dad framed it. It was, I love orca whales, like killer whales. So I used to love that movie Free Willy. So I kind of made a really childlike drawing of it, and it's painted or it's framed right here. But it just reminds you of things that you once did as a child that I started tapping back into, which was art. I enjoyed it. It was my escape, you know, going in your room and coloring. I loved it. So going back to the childhood things felt good to me. Mm-hmm. And someone that loved being out in nature or walking through forests or fishing, and to see them go back to the things they love, there's peace in it all. But we think it's, I outgrew it. No, you just abandoned it. You abandoned yourself, because I abandoned me for a long time.
Yep. Yeah. That introspective work so many men out there don't do. I don't want to say so few men do it, but because I think there is an awakening that's happening right now, and I think that awakening is partially because of projects like what you're doing, what my wife and her team are doing with He Changed It, that kind of a thing. You know, that awakening is happening, and that introspection leads to such rich enrichment of life. And I mean, gosh, we can go down that path. I know with He Changed It, one of the things that the goals of the app is that men can come in and they can take something that they need and leave something that they know. And the leaving whatever it is that they know is going to be something that another guy comes in and takes for themselves that they need. And that's like, boy, does iron sharpen iron. That concept starts to roll, it becomes this amazing snowball. Like you said, compartmentalized positivity. It becomes, my life motto is, don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution. And if we can compartmentalize the problem, accept it, know it, understand it, but leave it in that compartment and then move immediately to the solution, holy smokes, does that ever change the entire mindset on life itself? It's an amazing, amazing way to go. And what I have found also is, you know, again, with the research that they have done, and one of the things is there are so many guys out there that are just living their lives on autopilot.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're not connected. They're living a connect the dots life. Okay. I need to go and get a decent education. I need to get a decent job. I need to get a decent relationship and have some decent kids and buy a decent house and do these things and know why. It's just, that's what you do. And you leave behind the things you talked about, creativity earlier. I totally agree with you. I think podcast hosts are creatives. The art of conversation, you know, you got a beautiful painting behind you. There's photography, there's all sorts of different things, but conversation is in itself an art.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say is, you know, having the app, it's remarkable. You know, I love that it's so accessible to me, because oftentimes if I'm waiting somewhere, I enjoy reading, and like, I love the snippets, the bite-sized content. So one of them is like, why am I so damn tired all the time?
Yeah.
12 possible causes. And again, it goes down to it. Sleep is important. We undervalue it. I used to, well, let's say this in quotations, thrive on 4 hours of sleep. And, yeah. it was almost glorified where
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sleep is the enemy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can function. Yep. You're so great, Zach. You can power through this. Well, am I, or am I lacking in other places of my life because of it? I stopped loving myself, Mike, for so long. And when you go through to some dark places, you start self-sabotaging, you destroy everything that was meant for you. Everything that was hopeful for you was gone. And I didn't care about life. I didn't care about consequences. I didn't care. And when you start loving yourself again, and again, it goes back to hurt people.
Yep.
I didn't realize I was hurt. Again, ego covers it up really well. But when you start taking off those masks, start facing certain things that are holding you back in life, I think things start connecting better. You know, it starts becoming true to you. You start forming into the person you're supposed to be. We can go down a path that's not permanent. Go back on the other side of the road. And that road is unique to each one of us.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Yes. And also the other thing, and it's very clear that you have learned this. I mean, I think about the aspirations, of what we're trying to build here and the grind of it. And how it's like, it is a grind. Startup life is a grind. Well, you're building something. But you think about when you were a kid, to take it back to your other thing, you know, going back to that introspection, what is it that makes me me? What are some things that light my fire? You know, you think back to kids who build Lego. And is it the fact that, you know, we'll use a modern example, somebody's building the Millennium Falcon, right? Mm-hmm. Is it the love of the Millennium Falcon that's completed? Or is it the journey where the joy is? Yes. And so many times we want to fast forward to the outcome, but really the journey itself, like, I mean, you know, my wife and I have written one book together. We want to write another one. And the title is already Grateful in the Grind. You know, if you can find ways to be grateful while the grind is happening, and I'm not saying that the grind is easy, you know, when you're building you're building a platform, we're building a platform. Mm-hmm. You know, there's struggle that comes with that. There's cost. There's how do we take it to the next level? I'm not enough here because I don't know this. Who can I get that can complement that? All of these things that come along with it. But boy, if you look for it, there is a lot of joy in the grind, a lot of things to be grateful for. And I feel like you have been introduced to that concept as well through this process.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship is, it's tough as nails. And, you know, I often, I think I'm an entrepreneur, a lifelong entrepreneur, many fails. Are they failures? Are they failures? Are they stepping stones? You got to look at them in different ways.
Yep.
But in the process is, there's a beauty in it. You refine things, you get better, you get sharper. You find people that actually want to do things with you rather than just take from you. So you learn these different things. Marketing. I love marketing. I love media. I love technology. Mm-hmm. So it's so cool to see it all come together at the end. But the end is not always a place where I stop, because end is boring for me. I want to say is, now what else can we do? Whether it's this project or is it another project? What's the next journey?
Yeah.
And that's fun. That's purpose. When I feel, and it could be certain days where I feel I don't have the purpose. I don't feel, what am I doing all this for?
Yep.
You know, it's exhausting. It's not as fun, or it's draining my energy. Why? You got to go back to the purpose. You got to go find the cause, the root of the reasoning. And I think for me, you know, the more I dive into it, it's still a journey on its own to figure out that part, the why. But during the process, I think I've realized it goes down to a simple thing, that people helped me. People were kind to me when I wasn't kind to myself. Mm-hmm. So as human beings, as people being human, we have a duty, I believe, to pass it on the knowledge, the baton, whatever you want to call it, to the next generation, to today, to the man that's struggling. And oftentimes that person can be you in the mirror. So be the person that you need.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to pass the baton to yourself. You know, this has come up a couple of times in the recent episodes, but I think it's worth, it's come up organically. It's worth repeating. I mean, you think about, to the guy or gal who's listening to this right now, I mean, it's a men-centered podcast, obviously, because there are so many guys that have a hard time treating themselves with kindness. Like you just said, you think about this kindness and passing the baton, passing it on. So many times, even if our tank is empty, and by the way, that is a life hack. If your tank is empty and you go and help somebody, your tank fills up a little bit. That is a life hack. But there are so many people, though, if they've got a friend going through something, they immediately want to help. They want to give kindness. They want to give empathy. They want to give solution. They want to give skill, help, whatever that is, right? But yet, when we're feeling that way, what do we want to do for ourselves? Well, we dogpile on ourselves. We treat ourselves crappy. Like, what if we treat it like just this one presupposition? What if we treated ourselves the way that we treat others when they are in peril? Holy smokes, is that a game changer? But for some reason, it's been hardwired into so many of us to not be kind to ourselves or not view what we're going through with the same kindness that we would view it with others.
You know, I the day I stopped drinking, I woke up and I was on the floor. I was like, I'm here. Cause I looked at myself in the mirror while I was drinking alone at home and I was over, I was done with life. It's like, drink till you're out. There's no need. Like, mom's gone, my pillar. You know, I'm first generation Canadian. I came from East Africa, came here at 4 months old. And I have a journey there. I have to go back to see one day. I've never gone and I need to face certain things. There's missing parts of my life that I don't know. And I want to learn. And it's more about just where did we begin? You know, maybe it's for another conversation on that part, but
no way, man, I'm going down that rabbit hole. Is the idea of that exciting or is it daunting? Is it, is there fear attached to it? Because some of those blank spots may have some, some not so nice things. Like, what do you, when you think about that, Zach, like you think, okay, I've got some blanks in my life, East Africa, that's where it is. I got to go and I got to figure out some of these blanks and fill in some of these blanks. Is that exciting or perilous to you or a combination of both?
I think it's a bit of both, but I think it's such a personal journey. I think it's going to your root. It's going to your being. It's all the things you've always searched for, longed for. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to be able to go do that. You know, when I think about things like that often, when I was younger, I'd cry. Now,
out of fear,
fear, belonging, understanding.
Okay.
Now I'm in the place of trying to figure out who am I? Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have been able to even think about that if I continued down the paths I was on.
Yeah. You were on the path of destruction.
Because of all the this that didn't make sense to me, didn't get, but I'll just cover it up, just continue life and we'll go on. When you become better, you attract better. And it's so obvious. You know, I am here with you today, Mike. We, again, have similarities.
Yeah.
Like the app, similarities, interests of mine. You asked me that a few years ago. I'd be like, whatever, cool. Like, awesome. Yeah. Like it wouldn't matter to me, but I was not
in the Flames game last night. Like, you know, it would have been so surfacey. Yeah. And the surface is where so many people live. But the good stuff is under the surface. I have found anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some people who can, I'm not trying to ostracize people who just enjoy the process of living life on the surface. There are people who do that. They find joy doing that. Yeah. And there are people that I envy with that sometimes. Oh man, I wish I could keep it so simple the way that, you know, you keep it so simple. But that being said, I have found that the introspective journey, this journey that you're talking about, this personal journey of finding out who you are basically through the past and through, some of these other things that are part of your DNA that we don't even understand right now because it's a generational thing. And how is that going to compute with you as a first generation Canadian when you see that stuff? That I'm excited for you for that, but not expecting that it's all going to be roses and whatnot, but there's going to be a lot of amazing learnings that is going to lead to amazing insights, it will lead to joy, whatever that is. But then the understanding of who you are, what a phenomenal what a phenomenal opportunity you have in front of you. And I hope that every guy out there can figure out what their version of that opportunity is.
Absolutely. There's a book by Deepak Chopra. I can't remember the other two authors, Marianne. It's called The Shadow Effect. And basically it's talking about our shadow. It's the dark side. It's the things that we walk around with, that shadow behind us, we ignore. We never look at face. When you open up the trunk, the chest, and you look inside and you start peeling back and grabbing some of that stuff, it's scary. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you're going to break. You feel like you're going to, I don't know how to describe that feeling, but you just need to close that chest right away at some days, some moments.
Yeah.
But when you feel brave and you're not as scared as you once were,
yeah,
and you start grabbing it little by little, there's some sort of inner confidence that happens. And that's not the ego. That's that smile from within that makes you happy, and you pat yourself on the back, you know, figuratively or literally, yeah, but you feel good and you're like, wow, I was able to do that. You know, sometimes I write lists. I'm old school. So if I have things to do, tasks to do, I write it on a piece of paper.
Yep.
You know, we have all the tech now, but I'm still just that guy. Yep. And when it comes to that, I'll sometimes write lists of things maybe that are micro, nothing big, like, hey, Zach, take the garbage out. Hey, Zach, go laundry, fold your clothes, do this, like the little things in between. And you get that done and you take that highlighter and you cross it out. Man, Mike, that feels amazing.
It creates momentum. Even the momentum. Little things start to create momentum.
Yeah. We always think, well, that big goal, that big vision, he changed, it's got to be on the TSX.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. Yes. Yeah. We want that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bigger means greater impact. But at the same time, it's all in the process. Again, it goes back to that. The micro steps, daily, minute by minute, you know, how we're moving, how we're achieving things. It's interesting to see that. There's things out there like the Mental Health Foundations, Canadian Mental Health, which are great.
Yeah, they're partnered with Changed It. You know, it's Tough to Talk course is Canadian Mental Health Association course that's developed for Changed It.
And then there's Bell Let's Talk. But when it comes to Bell Let's Talk, they're great. However, it's only one day. And sometimes I think the general population does it for the social status of saying, wow, I checked off the box of doing it. I think
it's like Earth Day.
Exactly, right?
I recycled on Earth Day. All right, well.
Yeah, but I think it comes back to your core being. Is it instilled in your daily routine, into your daily mindset of 1% better, you know, just getting better daily.
Yeah. Well, and I look at Mentel, I look at what Changed It is doing, you know, we look at something like Bell Let's Talk Day. Thank you for the awareness. How can we hardwire application into that awareness? And if we can figure out ways to hardwire daily application that goes beyond it, the awareness is amazing, because the awareness is going to lead to, you know, application-based solutions for our daily lives, habits. What's the habitual things that can come out of that awareness of that one day? And it's folks like you, folks like my wife and her team, that are trying to literally change the world. That's the aspiration. Is that the aspiration for Mentel? Like, how, if you know, time, money, no object, blue sky, how big is Mentel and what does it look like?
Oh, you know, we would hope to make it more around the media, the content based element. I think to have people with shows or people with conversations constantly on there. So it's not just the month, but it's also goes to every day. You got things going on, excitement. But I think it takes our tribe of growing men that are coming out and saying, you know what, I wasn't okay, or I'm not okay, but this is what I'm doing. And then another guy comes on, and it's that domino effect of like, it goes back to that iron sharpens iron. But you know, when it comes to like measurement based outcomes or measurement based care, whatever someone wants to call it,
sure,
I think the app that you guys have created here, your wife's created with her team, is remarkable, because you can now, how am I feeling, the mood, and then it's like, why am I feeling this way? Sure, Apple's got their health logs and all that to see, you know, stats, measurements. Yep. But it's not the same. You got to dive deeper. You know, you can stay on the surface, which is great for some people, because you got to start somewhere. But if you're looking to go further, I think this app is going to do great things for people.
Well, that's the goal. And I mean, I've seen the roadmap of all, like right now, the app is essentially a beta version. Like, I mean, we've built this out of our house with a couple of people who have the same, in their pit of their stomach, core desire to want to change the world. And I mean, like, we haven't even had investment yet. Like, it's literally at the place where it's bootstrapped. And what it is now, I get people all the time saying exactly what you just told me, Zach. And I mean, I've seen the roadmap of what, once a little bit of money comes in, what the development's going to be, it's going to, like, holy smokes, do they have plans for this thing? But it's funny, it's like little drops of water in the desert, because the need is so great. There's so many of us out there, and we don't even realize that some of that nourishment, that thirst quenching nourishment, is just a conversation. It's just a comparing notes of, here's what I'm going through, here's what I've learned, and then the reciprocal to somebody else. And oh my gosh, it's like a fire that spreads. And we believe that's what's going to happen. We believe there's going to be, 15, 20, 30 other businesses or applications or social impact causes, whatever you want to call them, that do the same thing, because the need is so great. The World Health Organization calls men's mental wellness one of the biggest silent crisis that exists, and it, the domino effect, like you talked about, is extreme. You know, there's the hard stats about suicide. Okay, that's obviously awful. We want to do something about that. But you think about the lives of quiet desperation that are being lived by so many men. You know, the ones that don't go to that extreme, but violence at home, maybe, or damaged relationships, or cancers and heart attacks and strokes or whatever, all of these things that come from this. And so what if we were to solve this? Mm-hmm. If we were to solve this, what is the domino effect there? What are some of the things that can be solved because you solve this? And to me, it's endless. To me, that domino that domino string never ever ends. And it starts with what we're all doing. And I love that we're linking arms with you guys. Right. I can't wait for a time where Mentel is going to do something and it gets highlighted within the He Changed It world. And we go on to other levels of iron sharpening iron.
Mm-hmm. I can't agree more with you. I'm sure there's going to be so many ways that we're going to work together.
Yeah.
There's
collaboration kicks the crap out of competition. That's how I see it.
Gosh. Yeah. And, I feel in the men's mental health space, people talk about it. But again, it's one of those things that's so taboo. It's so it's kind of odd. It's kind of weird. Like,
it's stigmatized. It totally is.
Well, it 100% is. And, I know friends of mine that when I'm talking about mental, childhood friends or people I've known, but they won't like it because maybe someone at work will see it and they're in corporate Calgary or wherever.
Yep.
They're like, well, I don't want to agree with that. But I know they struggle.
Yep.
Anxiety or whatever it is that they're facing. It's just a thing that we got to get over. Why do you think this is, though? Why do you think there is this silent support? And, if there's another day of some sorts to celebrate, everyone's on it. But when it comes to men's mental health, there's not much. There's not even support in the media at times, I find.
Now the podcast host is coming out of you. I love it. I love that very, very much. For me, what I have learned throughout this process, when talking to men who have a story to tell, like you said it yourself, hurt people hurt people. Like we've heard that phrase so many times. I've even heard it. I'm a big Arrested Development fan. They use that as a bit in one of the episodes, and they almost celebrate it and they talk about it. It's a hilarious, hilarious joke.
I love Buster and I love Tobias.
God. Oh man. Oh, Tobias is absolutely. And we could do an entire podcast on Arrested Development, but there's an episode where they're saying they're almost chanting hurt people hurt people. Like it's we've heard this. It's in our vernacular. Mm-hmm. But until you actually experience it for yourself, it doesn't have a deeper meaning. So you're talking about these people, like, so the why, to go back to the question, you're talking about this person that you know is hurting.
Yeah.
You know it, but they don't know it yet.
No.
And maybe they do, but they just don't even know what to do with it. They haven't done any introspective work. They haven't been proactive in any way about it. They're still being reactive. They're still in a spiral, whatever that is. And I think that the moment you shine a little bit of light, and they have an aha moment, like my dad dealt with anger issues and he's been on this show and he's talked about it and whatnot. It was until you could have said anything to him and it wouldn't have mattered until he had that aha moment. And the moment that the aha moment happens, everything starts to change. And the change is ridiculously simple. Not necessarily easy, but it's ridiculously simple compared to the thought of the change.
Yeah.
But that's the X factor. How can that aha moment happen? And I think what you're doing, I think what we're doing and other people that are out there doing, a guy like Seb, you know, we're creating doorways that are wide open for people to walk through and have that aha moment. Mm-hmm. And it's contagious. The moment you have one, you want to help other people have it. So that's my, you know, armchair answer to that question of why.
I love how you brought up the word aha, because that's been a book title that I've been working through, because it's something that just makes sense to me, because it's like, aha, when it clicks, it clicks. And it's such a beautiful moment for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you feel it.
It's the greatest. There's no money could spend on an item that would replace that feeling. It's just it's outside of the realm of materialism or pleasure or whatever. There's this self-worth thing that shows up and it's clicks and it's harmony. It's like in music, if you're a music fan and you hear the most beautiful harmony from whatever band or act that you like, it's the same thing, even though it's not harmony itself, like harmony is harmony, but it's an internal one. That's the only way I can use with my stupid puny human brain to describe that feeling. It's a moment of clarity. I've got to ask you, like, I mean, I knew that the time was going to go fast. We're already 38 minutes into this thing. I knew it was going to go fast with you today. I got to ask you, because I'm captivated by the idea of you just going around and you know, the Canadian podcast, and it just talking about different Canadians and their stories, you know, Mentel, you know, seeing some of these very more specific stories that are there. I'm super curious, Zach, if you have any commonalities, like things that you see that are reoccurring, themes, certain solves, whatever that might be. Are there certain things that you see that are reoccurring and it's like, okay, clearly, because I'm seeing this in all these different directions, you know, this is something that's important. It's something that's a commonality that we may not talk about as much.
Absolutely. I think some of the unlocks in this is movement. You know, we can stay still, we can work, we can do all these things, but getting outside, letting that sun beam down on you, just that feeling, breathing in the air of Mother Nature, you know, all of this, there's something liberating. And it goes to that inner smile. It brings me joy. I didn't understand it for so long. I was like, whatever, you know, it's a waste of time. Just gotta work. And when you take that moment of pause, there's beauty around. I think the other fact is that community helps, talking helps. And it's not even about talking about problems. What about the good times? What about just communicating? You know, we're so connected today with our phones, mm-hmm. yet we're disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get trapped in our phones and into our emails, but to have these conversations, I mean, obviously it'd be nice to be in person with you, but we're still able to talk, and it's great. It's powerful.
It works. Yep.
Yeah. When it comes to this, we brought it up today. Iron sharpens iron. For the mm-hmm. listeners, what does that mean, Mike?
So I love that saying. It's rooted in a few different philosophical spots, biblical. It's in a few different spots, but I think about iron sharpening iron, and if you were to explicate that, and I, by the way, I have noticed that the podcast host has come out again, and you're asking me the question, but we'll let it slide again. But you got two pieces of iron.
Oh yeah.
And when they clash, when they mix, when they rub up against themselves, the friction, all of that, there's a process that happens there, and it's loud and it's hot. It creates sparks. It creates, you know, noise. It's sort of violent almost, even when you think about it. But at the end of the process, both pieces of iron are left better than when that process started. These pieces of iron have sharpened each other, and they've gotten to a place where now they are better off because they've interacted with each other. And to me, that's kind of the crust of what I feel about the iron sharpens iron analogy. What does it mean to you?
It's very similar. It's the spark for me. That's where I live. Again, it goes back to collaboration. It goes back to finding your tribe. It goes back to whatever it is. But when you get that spark, and that could be that aha moment we're talking about as well, when it comes to collaboration, that things are moving, things are igniting. And again, when mental comes together with you guys and there's a spark, I already can think of so many ideas. Maybe it goes back to the creativity side. But there's so many platforms out there. I don't think we need another social media platform. You know, what we need is content for people, quality content. Somebody that's not trying to, at the end of this, say is, buy my $20,000 package for to get better. I think it's not in that.
Again, the content is the outcome. There's no outcome from the content. The content itself is the outcome. Mm-hmm. Just like the journey is where you find the joy. It's the same thing. Yes. Could not agree more.
A lot of people talk about destination. And of course, destination matters wherever you're heading, figuratively or literally. But why do you think men, specifically because this is a conversation we're having, struggle in the process, in the journey, not...
I think it's daunting to many people. I think they fear the journey. You know, so you talk about sobriety with you. Mm-hmm. I think before you had your moment when you woke up and you said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." 3 weeks before, even if somebody would have suggested to you or you would have thought about the journey of becoming sober, you should have been like, "Get the hell out of here!"
Oh God!
I don't want to. Right?
You know how many people told me, "Zach, stop drinking. Slow down. Slow down. It's what are you doing?"
How'd that go over?
One day sober, and then the next day, I won't even call it sober because I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine. For a day, I won't drink." Or 2 days, but then guess what? Friday comes around. Well, let's go out. Yeah.
Yeah. The fear of the idea of it's so daunting at that point. It's like literally trying to push antimatter up a hill. Like it's so out of the realm of possibility, right? Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of people out there, men specifically, who know what they would like for their destination to be, whatever it is, whether it's a better relationship, whether it's a better standard of living, whether it's living life with purpose, whether it's, you know, some of these things they know that, whether it's better physical health, you know, again, just like hurt people, everybody knows getting outside, getting some exercise and whatnot. We all know that. We've all heard it. We all know what the right thing to do is. But until we have some sort of moment that sparks that change or the decision for that change, the journey becomes easy then at that point. Like it becomes so easy, but it seems like it's the most daunting thing in the world. So to answer the question, to me, I think that's from what I've learned and the people I've talked to, it seems to be the fear of the process to get to whatever it is, or the intimidation of the process, seems to be one of the major holdbacks for people.
You know, when we get hurt, we'll put a cast on, we'll put a Band-Aid on, and people are empathetic towards it. They're saying, "Oh man, are you okay? You're on crutches. You good? Do you need anything?" Mm-hmm. But when guys specifically say, "Well, I'm just not feeling good today. There's something wrong in me. There's a dark cloud. I need to go in my room. I need to be under my sheets and just be. I don't any sound, any light might bring something out of me that I don't want. Leave me alone," or all these things. And we look at this, or society looks at this, as a way of weakness at times. Not our society, not our tribe, because we get it. we look at that and say, that doesn't make sense. I'm okay to talk about my feelings. I maybe struggle with, you know, certain things, abandonment in many ways, or weird moments. I'm figuring out now, why was I doing certain things? Why was I drowning myself in certain habits that weren't good for me? Mm-hmm. But I think as our society looks down upon this and says, well, come on, toughen it out. You're going to be okay. You're going to get better. Come on.
Yeah.
You're not that hurt. Yeah, man up. Or really, it's not that bad. Come on. Yeah. Probably just having a little bit of a moment. What a wuss. Come on. But it's it's so the opposite, because that stuff, whether it's today, 5 years, 10 years from now, it's going to eat you alive, and it's going to hit you maybe at 70, where you're going to say, holy smokes, I never dealt with anything.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny you mentioned that. I haven't mentioned it in season two so far. So for the He Changed It people, this is okay. They're going to roll their eyes a little bit. In season one is like 110 episodes we put out or whatever. Nice. And I mentioned it a bunch of times, but this is the first time in season two. And I think we've done 10 or 15 of these things already for season two. And I haven't mentioned it. One of the little, side goals that He Changed It has is we want to take a phrase back. And repurpose a phrase, and the phrase is "man up." So the idea of the old school locker room analogy, the what you just did society analogy of "man up," is just, oh, just, you know, bury it down and keep going, you know, stand up, just stand up and tough it out, right? Mm-hmm. What we want to change "man up," and we want to change "man up" to becoming, it's not your fault, but take responsibility. Take responsibility for what you're going through. Okay, you've got the sheet over your head and you want to be in the dark all day. First off, it's okay to not be okay. That's manning up, knowing that. Second off, you've been here before. Has there been anything that's helped? Okay, those little micro things that you can do to create momentum. What are some things you can do to help? What are some things that you can do to solve it? But full on acceptance of where you're at, responsibility, even if it's not your fault, responsibility of where you're at, and say, this is my responsibility to do something about it. And then whatever it is, small, big, do something about it. Yeah. That's what manning up is going to be. And we want to change the worldwide definition of that phrase in the life cycle of He Changed It. And it's through conversations like this that do that. That is what manning up is. Somebody who takes responsibility for the situation that they're in and goes to find solution, goes to make things better. That is manning up to me. I don't know about you.
No, you benefit yourself. You benefit your family, your friends, your society, your community. Yes. Like it trickles. And you know what? We as humans better our world, whatever that is, within our, you know, proximity. We better it. But like you said earlier, it's, you know, you can look at when a man turns off his own lights, and you often hear the thing is like, oh, what could I have done? You know, I wish we had talked to him more. I wish we had done this. Mm-hmm. I think things like Mentel, things like He Changed It app, things like some of the projects and things that are going on right now are on the right step to tackle these things in a proactive manner. So we become better instead of saying, I wish I could have done something.
Yes.
Of course there is the odd cases of you can't, but why not try? Why just sit back? Why, you know, watch it all happen from the guidelines? We might make an impact. We might not. But if it goes back to that thing, if we can change one person's life, that's impact. That's where it starts. That's where that domino effect comes down, that trickle effect.
Yeah.
So why not start there?
I think it's also one of those things, you know, when somebody, I've seen this in a few different applications in life. I know that there's a name for it. Again, I'm too silly. I'm not smart enough to remember what the name of this process is. But when you read a book and you have an aha moment, mm-hmm. one of the immediate things that comes from that aha moment is that you want to start telling others about it, and you speak with it. Whenever you have part of it's the reticular activation system, part of it's that, but there's another part of it as well, where you just get so excited about it. And what you just said, I got a friend who they just lost their mom. And things weren't good and they knew it, and they knew that, you know, there were some substances involved and whatnot, and there are boundaries that had to be created because of it. And I get it. Like, there's no, No judgment whatsoever. But now they don't have the chance to make things right. And they tried. They did try. But over the last few days, in talking to them, they have expressed regret on how they haven't tried. They didn't try hard enough, like flat out did not try. Yes, there were these little olive branches and things. There was proactivity with the boundaries that had to be created. But at the same time, now that she unexpectedly passed away, they are facing the fact that, no, I didn't do what I could have done. If I would have known that, you know, in March of 2024, that was it, curtains, she's gone, I would have acted very differently in December of 2023 or whatever, you know, like, you know, perspective changes. And I think that one of the things that we have that is a disconnect is there's so many guys that are in the dark right now. And those of us that are having these moments and these things are so excited with that, that knowledge going, okay, we want to show you. And we got to figure out that balance of how to do it without, to do it more effectively, I guess. And I think it's through conversations like this that do it. I honestly do. I think that's one of the silver bullets.
If you shove it down someone's throat, it's a no. You know, like I said, stop drinking. Okay, well, you stop doing this. Don't tell me what to do, you know, kind of a thing. Yep. But if they take it at their own pace and, you know, start hearing certain things, micro content, micro drips of this element of positivity, inspiration, and it's healthy inspiration. That's the thing. It's not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to tell you to do this because we want you to buy this. Obviously, there's sustainability in certain things, but that's not that's not the goal here.
No.
You know, when we look at technology like the app that you guys have created here, how do you think it would benefit someone and someone to take action on, I guess, behavioral actions? So punching in how they're feeling, because that's a scary step. That itself is a scary step. And you know what? Yeah. No one's around when you're doing it. You're doing it on your phone. But to say, how am I feeling? Oh, do I really want to say I'm feeling sad today? Because, you know, when you start feeling sad, you start adding more things to why I'm feeling sad. When you're feeling happy, you're thinking, well, it's because of this. So how does someone take that first step to start putting it in, that inner strength to do so?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, with the app, one of the little isms that Candy and the team talk about all the time is prevention in your pocket. You know, the idea that, and that spawned from early on in the R&D of this thing, you know, the research part of the R&D, there was a conversation with one of Canada's top ranking military officials about how many suicides there are from folks who have served and seen stuff. And one of the comments was, and it was mostly men. And one of the comments was, and every single one of them had a phone in their pocket when they did it. Like, and that was the idea of support for He Changed It going, what you guys are doing is not just noble, it's needed, but it's also has the potential to be extremely effective. Because again, we are creating our relationships with these devices. We're creating, a bond with these things. Well, if that's the case, then there's a personal way right there that you can start taking some of these micro steps. Again, going into the app and saying, how am I feeling today? For some, it might be a huge admission to say that you're sad, but you're doing it personally. You're not doing it where anybody else is going to see it. There's no, And there's also, and men do like solutions. Men do like to fix things. You know, famously, the men-woman dynamic is the woman is talking and the men's trying to fix everything when really we should just be listening and learning. Men tend to want to fix things. And so I'm feeling sad and suddenly there's a little solve that pops up, a micro solve like you've talked about. I think that's where it starts. Absolutely. And I think these little things, and so that's the question I was going to actually ask you. When you were in the throes of drinking, what could somebody have said to you? Obviously, the aha moment's not going to come until it comes. But what are some, are there ways looking back that somebody could have said something to you that would have been effective during that time? Was it just the idea of unconditional love? Hey, man, I love you no matter what,
no.
You know, whether you're drinking or not. Like, is there anything that anybody could have said at that point that would have micro got through to you?
I think maybe a story. And I think that's where the podcasting happens. It's a story of somebody where they ended up and what they lost. What they lost is not only money. It's not only family. It's themselves. The spirit, the human spirit, losing that is something I probably would have looked deeply into. And, you know, that bug would have, or pill would have slowly started.
A seed would have been planted. It's a little bit of food for some thought that may or may not come now, may come later. But okay, so store. Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that a lot of people could identify with. Here's what I learned, and again, that goes back to the idea of take something that you need, leave something that you know. Mm-hmm.
It worked for me. You know, it goes back to, again, your childhood things. What worked for you? What resonated with you? For me, one of my favorite times were sitting in that circle and the teacher reading you a book. Storytelling. Mm-hmm. I love that time. So as you get older, now you're doing the podcasting, you're reading books, you're learning. Mm-hmm. In a time where there's so much content thrown at us, so that's the other thing. It's an information overload, and it can get exhausting, Mike. Mm-hmm. What have you done to kind of siphon or filters in so you can only get the things you need and not just get bombarded? The emails, the the DMs, the text messages, it's everywhere.
Well, and as success comes, it only gets greater. You know, I've got a few like really high level folks that are influences of mine that I'm aspiring to be in many respects, or at least emulate.
Yeah. And I look at, who are they, Mike?
Well, you know what? Hey, I'll tell you this. If ever I come on the Canadian podcast, okay.
Can't wait to have you.
I'll tell you about, And on that show, I'll tell you about my other podcast that I host. I'll tell you about the Letterman podcast, because I'm chasing a dream actively right now. Like, I am unabashedly chasing a dream as hard as I possibly can personally. While Candy and her team are doing this, I want to support them as much as I possibly can. My heart is, of course, attached to it. I love hosting HeCast, just like I know you love hosting Canadian podcasts. Like I do. One of the things that I was shown by so many of these life coaches or counselors or folks who are invested in this, is that guys should do some introspective work, figure out a dream that you have, and do something towards that dream. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, again, the analogy I always use hockey because of the Canadian thing. You know, I'm 47 years old. There's no way I'm going to play in the NHL. But I could go and join a beer league. I could learn how to skate. I could, you know, I'm not going to get a recording contract potentially, you know, by the biggest record label in the world. But I could get a guitar, learn 20 chords, and just let it out, whether it's just personal or whatever. So for me, learning about how much I love podcasting through HeCast, I felt like about a year into the process, I felt like I would be a hypocrite if I was hearing these words and I wasn't doing something about it for myself. And I'm a gigantic. So one of the people that one of these people is David Letterman. Yeah. I'm a gigantic David Letterman enthusiast. And there wasn't a Letterman podcast. And my enthusiasm had taken me to the point where I had built a few relationships with folks who had worked for the show and a couple other things. And I was always, as a podcast fan, looking for the Letterman podcast. You know, you talk about all this content that's out there. The beautiful thing about this content, you can find content that you identify with, and you could jump in and be the ride or die of that content. And it's fantastic that we live in this world. It's diluted things, but at the same time, it's created what you've said, the overwhelm, because there's so much out there. But if you know what your heart's content is, you can find content that fills that heart. There wasn't one for Letterman that talks about the behind the scenes of the show, that talks about all that sort of stuff, that doesn't. So I'm like, well, screw it. Okay, I'll host it. And I got permission from somebody who worked for Dave for 32 years, not permission, but the blessing of, and he's since passed on. It was almost a year since Shecky passed away. And I miss him so much. But he gave me such a gift by saying, yeah, go for it, Mike.
That's awesome.
No outcome whatsoever. And I started the Letterman podcast. And it has led to It has led to so many dream come true moments where I've had so many moments where if you would tell 21-year-old Mike, who loved Letterman and all that, hey, Mike, you're going to do this. You're going to talk to this person. This person's going to be your friend. This person is going to reach out to you when you have like going through. If you would have told me all of these things that have happened in the last 18 months were going to happen to me, 21-year-old Mike would have said, you're absolutely ridiculous. There's no way that's going to happen. I would rather those things happen than for me to win the lottery.
That's incredible.
21-year-old Mike wouldn't have believed that. And it was simply taking the advice of things that I've learned on HeCast. I literally only started the Letterman podcast because I would be a hypocrite if I didn't hearing all of these things.
Well, what was it about Letterman versus Leno or Conan? What was it about Letterman?
Well, Conan, I love Conan too, but Conan is all okay. So this is where we could go deep. You don't understand how deep I go on this. But to keep it high level, how do I answer that question? Okay, so what is it about Letterman? Johnny Carson, as far as I'm concerned, and people who I'm 47, I can remember a time where Johnny Carson was the biggest star in the world. There was nobody bigger in show business, powerful, like just Johnny Carson was the man. Millennials don't understand, like people don't understand that. I don't even know if there's a comparable today. Taylor Swift is probably somebody who you could maybe go down the path of comparing, but she's just a singer. So I mean, gigantic. He just gigantic.
I loved him with Don Rickles and Sinatra.
I just had
that era.
Alchez, who's the trumpet player for Letterman, who did the theme. Like what we spent 10 minutes talking about when he would play the fanfare for Don Rickles to come out on the show. Like, yes, yes. So yes, I could not agree more. But he was old show business. He was my dad's guy. Letterman comes along and he is completely different. Deconstructs. He's a baby boomer, but he's speaking to the Gen X audience. So he is irreverent. He's a little cynical. He makes fun of everything. Like showbiz is a pretense. It's a whatever. And he just spoke to me. And plus, whip smart, funny, the greatest rapier wit I've ever heard at a human being. And I was a little kid. And then they would also this element of acting silly. I was a 9-year-old when I saw Letterman for the first time and realized I see these adults acting silly. I'm like, wait, adults can act like this? You know, puts on the Velcro suit and jumps on. Like, what? Like okay. Dropping things off a building, just to watch them get destroyed. I'm in. So then you go on to Leno. Leno doesn't get the Tonight Show. I'm very happy that happened because Dave became who he became because he didn't get the Tonight Show. That's a lesson in life, by the way. Sometimes when we don't get our heart's desire, Letterman wanted that show more than anything. He gave up his entire life to pursue the dream of having the Tonight Show. The best thing that could have happened to him professionally was that he did not get the Tonight Show. There's a lesson in that.
Same thing as The Rock.
Absolutely.
You know, he played for the Calgary Stampeders, for people that don't know, on the CFL.
Yep.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And then he got sent back home. You know, his NFL dreams died. Something along those lines. Had $7 in his pocket. Dad and mom helped him get back or whatever. And now his company, his production company, is called $7 Production because of that moment. He said, the greatest thing that never happened was that I didn't get in the NFL. You know, look at what he's become.
I have roots in the professional wrestling world as well. I have a professional wrestling promotion. And so I met The Rock. I've got a picture with a big shit eating grin on my face with my arm around The Rock's mom. And I'm wearing a Black Adam shirt. It's one of my favorite pictures. And in wrestling, there are a lot of stories like that, where they didn't get exactly what they wanted, but because they didn't, it led to something so much bigger and better.
The screw job. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You look at, I mean, there's so many examples of it. Mm-hmm. Steve Austin getting fired from WCW is a big one. You know, he had the US title. They could have put the belt on him.
Oh yeah.
But he never would have become what he became. If he wouldn't have gotten fired, right? Like he never would have become that in that company. He never would have discovered his greatness, his inner greatness, if he didn't get fired, go down into the depths of introspection, having to figure out who I am, and then allowing it to. And by the way,
he shines in his realm now, doesn't he? Like 316 Stone Cold Steve.
He's the biggest wrestler. Okay, The Rock now is the biggest star on the planet. But if you're going to go just to pro wrestling numbers, butts in seats, merchandise sold, all of that stuff, I believe there's an argument that says Stone Cold Steve Austin is number one all time, in that world. And it came from adversity. The whole character that he built came from adversity, you know, and so, yeah, I could go deep on that as well. So Letterman is just that guy that he just does it for me.
And yeah, I love the doc series right now he's got on Netflix. It's remarkable.
Oh, my next guest is fantastic. I love it. So good. I'm just actually in talks right now with an online platform where the Letterman podcast is going to do every time a new episode comes out, we're going to have somebody on the show and kind of deconstruct it together. One of his new shows on Netflix. So yeah, I mean, so I could go very deep when it comes to Letterman.
We got
to
get Letterman on the show.
We'll see. You know, it's funny because I've had a bunch of his executive producers and some of the people that are very, very close. I've had some of his best friends on the Letterman podcast. And it's so funny because it's like, okay, now we're getting to the point where, I've asked a couple times and they've said no. Like I've got a direct connection already. He very, very aware of who we are and what we're doing. But there's a part of me that's like, it'd be charming if he never came on because I'm making the show is about the people who made the show and people who starred on the show or came on the show as guests, performed on the show, that kind of a thing. Don't get me wrong. I would have him on in a second, but I've also known that, not having him on, there's a charm in that as well.
There is.
That being said, I my inkling is that our paths will certainly cross in some way, shape, or form.
They always say try and avoid meeting your hero in certain things because you will be disappointed. Because we put this thing on, right, where we imagine that person is a certain way, whether that's in just life, celebrities, whatever. But we're so different. You know, what I show on social media is a sliver of who I really am. So when someone says, I know you, Mike, I know you, Zach, do they know you? Good luck. I'm still trying to figure out me. So if you know me, let me know because I'm still trying to find that unlock here.
So I found a life hack for that early on. So one of the things with me, I'm a manifester. Like I just am. You know, that picture with me and Rogan behind me. Love I got it. A picture with me interviewing Mick Foley right here.
Oh my God.
A picture of me and Letterman here. That all happened. All those pictures happened. They're just set dressings or whatever. But they all just happened organically through life. And I've manifested things my whole life that people don't. They're like, how does this happen? And it's, if you dream it, you can make it happen. And I didn't know any of that though. I never was able to deconstruct it. I was just like, okay, we're going to see Nine Inch Nails. And of course I'm going to meet Trent Reznor. Like I just knew it. And I just, it would happen. And it happened when I was, it was, you know what? I'm not even gonna say which band it is. I learned what you just said early on in life. I learned it when I was 17 years old. And I met somebody at that time who would be considered, my musical hero of the time. And I was disappointed by it. And it was like, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And then somebody who was older and wiser than me said the exact piece of advice that you just saved. Don't ever meet your heroes. Mm-hmm. And then he said, but screw that. That's what people say. And he was in the music business. He owned a CD shop in downtown Vancouver. And so he had a lot of bands, especially bands on their way up that would come through his shop. Mm. And he goes, that's not it. He goes, that's a flawed statement. Go meet your heroes. Go meet everybody you want to meet. Just have zero expectation when you do it. And that's the key. That's if you go in there not thinking, go meet them all. Like, are you kidding me? Of course I want to meet them all as they come through. But don't have any expectation whatsoever. And that way, if you have a negative experience, it's not negative at all. It's a funny story.
Exactly.
It's like, I love these guys. And when I met him and he was this and that and this and that. Like, okay, so the band that where I was disappointed in, the lead singer who I knew was married and all that, hit on a friend and was trying to it shattered my impression of that person. Because I had created the narrative like you talked about there. I created a narrative and an expectation. I know you. Well, no, of course I don't. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. And seeing him behave that way, I'm like, okay, well, screw you guys. And I didn't even want to be a fan of their music anymore. Like, I was so disheartened by it. And that's when I flipped the switch And now if that were to happen, it's like, ha, remember when so-and-so hit on so-and-so? Like, it would be totally reframed. One way or
the other, it doesn't matter. It's fluid.
Completely reframed. Water,
like Bruce Lee says, just move. Don't just be, this is the way I'm going to be. Just move through it. Yeah.
Absolutely. If Letterman, if Dave, because Dave probably could come and tell me to knock it off and have an army of lawyers. I mean, the guy's worth, you know, almost $1 billion. He could probably, if he wanted to, make my life really, really difficult, even though I'm not. You know, he could stop me. And if he did, I wouldn't have any ill will towards him because I've got zero expectation towards him. Thank God that hasn't happened. And he likes, I've been told
you're doing some great things. Paying homage to not just him. It's the people behind the scenes. It's how you make things great. And I think that's amazing. You know, we can talk to the guys that built the, I don't know, like Ford Mustang back in the day, whoever's left. But it's a classic art piece, you know, it goes down in history as one of the next to the Camaros and the Corvettes of back in that era, the '60s.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to John DeLorean's daughter, Catherine DeLorean's a friend of mine and John's no longer with us, but I've talked to her about him and she's got all of his diaries and all these amazing things. You know, I have no judgment.
No.
To anything John may or may not have done or whatever. No. It's the appreciation of what it is that he did that I appreciate. Yeah. And let's talk about that. Let's not focus on some of the others. Let's focus on the good stuff. And
it's so easy today, right? Like to say that instead of saying, wow, look, John did that. I mean, us talking about John DeLorean today is remarkable. They made a Netflix movie on him. That's remarkable. You know what? I think in this day and age, especially because it's so easy, people will hide behind Twitter and put these fake accounts together and tear people apart.
Yep.
You know, why not look at the positivity? And if you can't, I actually will just block you. I don't really care anymore. Like, I'm not here to engage because what is it? You know, again, it goes back, hurt people. Negativity is loud, but I believe, you know, with your right crew, you can just stay positive. And if you're not interested in being positive, then just do your own thing. Just stay away from me, you know? And totally. I think you would agree with that, right? Just find people.
100%. You have gotten me to talk a lot more than I normally talk in these episodes.
I love it.
Again, it's that podcast I was saying, and I appreciate that about you. I want to be honoring of everybody's time. We're already over an hour here. Mentel, I think you and I, especially at the end of this podcast here, where we're just shooting the bull back and forth and doing this stuff, that's where the good stuff is. And I think we talked about it and then we just kind of did it organically. None of this was pre-interviewed at all. This is just how it is. The Canadian podcast, that's the place you're on the YouTube and the podcast platforms, just like we are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And okay. So is it the Canadian or just Canadian podcast? I'm trying to remember.
It's at Canadian podcast or canadianpodcast.ca. You can see a place where there's episode. There's a part of just blogs for mindset. So self-development stuff, people check it out. Give us a follow and subscribe to both channels here.
Yeah. Like, share, subscribe, all that beautiful stuff. And then mentel.ca, mentell.ca.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zach, I'm debating to change it though, to go mentel.health. What do you think?
Oh man, I see both. You know, I certainly, if it were me, you keep the .ca address and all that stuff and you just have it moved to mentel.health or whatever. But, I mean, there's something very compelling about that idea. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, it's funny. There's when you add the .health, it adds a connotation to it. If it's just mentel.ca or mentel.com or mentel. You can't, if it's just any, the address, mentel to me has a statement attached to it. And I like that. When you go mentel.health,
now it's becoming,
it changes the statement a little bit, and it might be a little less, it might be a little bit more like guys who are out there going, oh yeah, yeah, I don't need therapy, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it might be mentel.ca is very clean to me.
Yeah. We have a new website coming out. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, there we go. Cool. Zach, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot wait to link arms with you in person because I feel like we're going to. I feel like now that our trajectories kind of know about each other, I think there's going to be some cool collaboration in the future. I love it. I can't wait till you come back on the show. I'm presupposing you will come back on the show because I know you will. And I just want to say congratulations on the journey that you've been on. Thank you for the vulnerability and sharing that vulnerability. And it's already helped other guys. And the conversation that we had today are going to help other guys. So thank you so, so, so much for that. I'm going to shoot a real quick outro here.
Thanks, Mike.
And then we'll say our goodbye privately, if that's okay.
Perfect.
Okay. That's why we do the show, everybody. That's it right there. I love hosting this show so, so much. The commonalities of what we have out there. And unfortunately, some of those commonalities are under the surface a little bit. And that's the purpose of HeCast. That's the purpose of HeCast, is to go under the surface a little bit, find some of those commonalities, share them with everybody else, and allow people to have some of these aha moments like Zach and I talked about today. If you haven't downloaded the HeChanged It app, what the heck are you waiting for? Go to HeChangedIt.com and take a look at the mission of what it is that we're doing. Obviously, the links to the app, whatever your technological persuasion is, whether it's the Apple or the Androids, you can go grab it right there. It's free right now. Come watch the ride of He Changed It as we go from where we are now to where we aspire to be. This has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something. All right.
Woo!
I'm fired up.